Good morning. In our weekly reading of the Bible, we are come to Deuteronomy 4. If you'd like to follow along, that's on page 136 in your pew Bibles. And now, O Israel, listen to the statutes and the judgments which I am teaching you to perform, in order that you may live and go in and take possession of the land which the Lord, the God of your fathers, is giving you. You shall not add to the word which I am commanding you, nor take away from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. Your eyes have seen what the Lord has done in the case of Baal Peor. For all the men who followed Baal Peor, the Lord your God destroyed them from among you. But you who held fast to the Lord your God are alive today, every one of you. See, I have taught you statutes and judgments, just as the Lord my God commanded me, that you should do thus in the land where you are entering to possess it. So keep and do them, for that is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the peoples, who will hear all these statutes and say, "Surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what great nation is there that has a God so near to it as the Lord our God whenever we call on him? Or what great nation is there that his statutes and judgments are righteous as this whole law which I am setting before you today? Only give heed to yourself, and keep your soul diligent, lest you forget the things which your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life, but make them known to your sons and your grandsons. Remember the day you stood before the Lord your God at Horeb, when the Lord said to me, 'Assemble the people to me, that I may let them hear my words, so that they may learn to fear me all the days they live on the earth, and that they may teach their children.' And you came near and stood at the foot of the mountain, and the mountain burned with fire to the very heart of the heavens, darkness, cloud, and thick gloom. Then the Lord spoke to you from the midst of the fire. You heard the sound of words, but you saw no form, only a voice. So he declared to you his covenant, which he commanded you to perform, that is, the Ten Commandments. And he wrote on wrote them on two tablets of stone. And the Lord commanded me at that time to teach you statutes and judgments, that you might perform them in the land where you are going over to possess it. So watch yourselves carefully, since you did not see any form on the day of the Lord spoke to you at Horeb from amidst the fire, lest you act corruptly and make a graven image for yourself in the form of any figure, the likeness of a male or female, the likeness of any animal that is on the earth, the likeness of any winged beast that flies in the sky, the likeness of anything that creeps on the ground, the likeness of any fish that is in the water below the earth. And beware, lest you lift up your eyes to heaven and see the sun and the moon and the stars, all the hosts of heaven, and be drawn away and worship them and serve them, those which the Lord your God has allotted to all the peoples under the whole heaven. But the Lord has taken you and brought you out of the iron furnace from Egypt to be a people for his own possession as today. Now the Lord was angry with me on your account and swore that I should not cross the Jordan and that I should not enter the good land which the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance. For I shall die in this land. I shall not cross the Jordan, but you shall cross and take possession of this good land. So watch yourselves, lest you forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which he made with you, and make your for yourself a graven image in that form of anything against which the Lord your God has commanded you. For the Lord your God is a consuming fire, a jealous God. When you become the father of children and children's children, and have remained long in the land, and act corruptly, and make an idol in the form of anything, and do that which is evil in the sight of the Lord your God, so as to provoke him to anger, I call heaven and earth to witness against you today, and you shall surely perish quickly from the land where you are, going over to the Jordan to possess it. You shall not live long on it, but shall be utterly destroyed. And the Lord will scatter you among the peoples, and you shall be left few in number among the nations, where the Lord shall drive you. And there you will serve gods and work of man's hands, wood and stone, which neither see nor hear nor eat nor smell. But from there you will seek the Lord your God, and you will find him if you search for him with all of your heart and all of your soul. When you are in distress and all these things have come upon you in the latter days, you will return to the Lord your God and listen to his voice. For the Lord your God is a compassionate God. He will not fail you, nor destroy you, nor forget the covenant with your fathers, which he swore to them. Indeed, ask now concerning the former days which were before you, since the day that God created man on the earth, and inquire from one end of the heavens to the other. Has anything been done like this great thing, or has anything been heard like it? Has any people heard the voice of God speaking from the midst of the fire, as you have heard it, and survived? Or has a God tried to go to take for himself a nation from within another nation by trials, by signs, and by wonders, and by war, and by a mighty hand, and by an outstretched arm, and by great terrors, as the Lord your God did for you in Egypt before your eyes? To you it was shown that you might know that the Lord, he is God. There is no other beside him. Out of the heavens he let you hear his voice to discipline you. And on earth he let you see his great fire, and you heard his words from the midst of that fire. Because he loved your fathers, therefore he chose their descendants after them. And he personally brought you from Egypt by his great power, driving out from before you nations greater and mightier than you, to bring you in and to give you their land for an inheritance, as it is today. Know therefore today, and take it to your heart, that the Lord, he is God in heaven above, and on earth below, there is no other. So you shall keep his statutes and his commandments, which I am giving you today, that it may go well with you and with your children after you, and that you may live long on the land which the Lord your God is giving you for all time. Then Moses set apart three cities across the Jordan to the east, that a manslayer might flee there, who unintentionally slew his neighbor without having enmity toward him in the past time, and by fleeing to one of these cities he might live. Bezer in the wilderness on the plateau for the Reubenites, and Ramoth in Gilead for the Gadites, and Golan in Bashan for the Manassites. Now this is the law which Moses set before the sons of Israel. These are the testimonies and the statutes and the other ordinances which Moses spoke to the sons of Israel when they came out from Egypt, across the Jordan, in the valley opposite Beth Peor, in the land of Sihon, king of the Amorites, who lived at Heshbon, whom Moses and the sons of Israel defeated when they came out of Egypt. And they took possession of this land, and the land of Og, king of Bashan, the two kings of the Amorites, who were across the Jordan to the east, from Aor, which is on the edge of the valley of Arnon, even as far as Mount Sion, that is, Hermon, with all the Arabah across the Jordan to the east, even as far as the Sea of the Arabah at the foot of the slopes of Pisgah. God bless the reading of his word.
Lord, we praise you for your word, Lord. Just such a precious gift to know you, Lord, and how you interact with us, Lord, and the history that we can study and to learn from it and to follow you, Lord, just to know you and to know that you love us and you want what's best for us, Lord. Your word is such a blessing. May it always be proclaimed in this church, Lord. And may we base our lives on it, Lord. May it be used to conform us into your image. And may it just go out from here to all the earth, Lord. We thank you so much for it. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Deuteronomy chapter 4, a call to obedience. Verses 1 through 8. Moses challenges Israel to learn from their past. Verse 1. Now, O Israel, listen. Moses had reminded Israel of their many rebellions against God in the wilderness. Now, as they were ready to enter into the promised land, he wanted them to think about their need for present obedience in light of their past rebellions. One of Satan's greatest strategies is to make us remember what we should forget and forget what we should remember. If we don't remember our past sins and rebellions against God, we can easily repeat them, falling into the same sinful patterns and traps. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Verses 1 through 13. For I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that our fathers were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they were drinking from a spiritual rock which followed them, and that rock was Christ. Nevertheless, with most of them, God was not well pleased, for they were laid low in the wilderness. Now these things happened as examples for us, so that we would not crave evil things as they also craved. Do not be idolaters, as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and stood up to play. Nor let us act immorally, as some of them did, and 23,000 fell in one day. Nor let us try the Lord, as some of them did, and were destroyed by the serpents. Nor grumble, as some of them did, and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now these things happened to them as an example, and they were written for our instruction, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed that he does not fall. It's just so awesome how over thousands of years, all the Bible ties together, Old and New Testament. We need to remember that we were always vulnerable. Life and death depended on Israel's obedience. Israel was about to attack a strong nation and to push them out of the promised land. If they didn't have the blessing of the Lord upon them, they would soon be in a lot of trouble. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 2. You shall not add to the word which I am commanding you, nor take away from it. This is an important principle regarding God's word. We are not to add to it in the sense of making the traditions and opinions of men equal to the law of God. Nor are we to take away from it by bad teaching or explaining away passages. The Holy Spirit and the Bible, it interprets itself, right? It's our highest authority. We need to honor it. Verse 3, your eyes have seen what the Lord has done in the case of Baal Peor. At Baal Peor, Israel sinned by committing both sexual and spiritual immorality with the women of Moab. Moses warned the people of Israel that if they rejected God now as they did back then, the result would be the same. Many would die in the judgment of the Lord. Verse 4, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. God's intention was that through Israel's obedience to the covenant, he would exalt them among the nations and make them a witness. This was so that foreigners, like the Queen of Sheba, who visited Solomon at the height of his blessing, would see that the Lord God of Israel was indeed the Lord God. I'd like to read that passage to you. It's in 1 Kings chapter 10, verses 1 through 9. Now when the queen of Sheba heard about the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to test him with difficult questions. So she came to Jerusalem with a very large retinue, with camels carrying spices and very much gold and precious stones. When she came to Solomon, she spoke with him about all that was in her heart. Solomon answered all her questions. Nothing was hidden from the king which he did not explain to her. When the queen of Sheba perceived all the wisdom of Solomon, the house that he had built, the food of his table, the seating of his servants, the attendance of his waiters and their attire, his cupbearers and his stairway by which he went up to the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. Then she said to the king, the Lord, he just breaks our spirit, doesn't he? Then she said to the king, it was a true report which I heard in my own land about your words and your wisdom. Nevertheless, I did not believe the reports until I came and my eyes had seen it, and behold, the half was not told me. You exceed in wisdom and prosperity, the report which I heard. How blessed are your men, how blessed are these your servants who stand before you continually and hear your wisdom. Blessed be the Lord your God who delighted in you to set you on the throne of Israel. Because the Lord loved Israel forever, therefore he made you king to do justice and righteousness. Amen. God should get the glory by the lives we live. That was evident there. Back to Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 9 through 20. Moses challenges Israel to learn from the example at Mount Sinai, or here referred to as Horeb. Verse 9. Take the commandments of God and make them known to your sons and your grandsons. They were to take heed to themselves first, then instruct their children. Verse 10, Moses told the nation to especially tell their children about the experience in Horeb. At Horeb, the nation of Israel heard God speak. I may let them hear my words. The intention of such a personal encounter was so that they would obey God. But of course they didn't. Verse 13, he declared to you his covenant. At Mount Sinai, Israel did not only receive commandments from God, they also entered into a covenant with him, promising to obey him, and God promising to bless an obedient Israel. That's found in Exodus chapter 24. Verses 1 through 8. Then he said to Moses, come up to the Lord, you and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and you shall worship at a distance. Moses alone, however, shall come near to the Lord, but they shall not come near, nor shall the people come up with him. Then Moses came and recounted to the people all the words of the Lord and all the ordinances. And all the people answered with one voice and said, all the words which the Lord has spoken we will do. Moses wrote down all the words of the Lord. Then he arose early in the morning and built an altar at the foot of the mountain with 12 pillars for the 12 tribes of Israel. He sent young men of the sons of Israel, and they offered burnt offerings and sacrificed young bulls as peace offerings to the Lord. Moses took half of the blood and put it in basins, and the other half of the blood he sprinkled on the altar. Then he took the book of the covenant and read it in the hearing of the people, and they said, all that the Lord has spoken we will do, and we will be obedient. So Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people and said, behold the blood of the covenant, which the Lord has made with you in accordance with all these words. We have entered into a covenant with our Lord Jesus by his blood. Are we honoring our Lord? Are we keeping our covenant? Thank God it's all dependent on him, right? He keeps the covenant. Are we honoring him? Are we glorifying him in that? Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 15. You did not see any form on the day that the Lord spoke to you. Because they saw no form of God, God commanded that they must never make an image to represent him. Israel also was forbidden to worship the creation of God. Neither any animal or bird or the sun, the moon, and the stars are fit for our worship. This is worshiping the creature rather than the creator. The book of Romans, chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in righteousness. Because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. For even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks. But they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man, and of birds, and four-footed animals, and crawling creatures. Therefore God gave them over in the lusts of their heart to impurity, so that their bodies would be dishonored among them. For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. We need to respect and enjoy God's gifts, not worship them. God gets the glory. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 20. The Lord has taken you and brought you out of the iron furnace. Because God has delivered us, he has rights over us. He did not deliver us so we could do our own thing, but so we could do his thing. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? For you have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. We have been bought at the highest price, the blood of our Lord Jesus. Right? And now the Holy Spirit resides in us. That's supposed to guide and direct us, right? Not our own desires. We need to be turned over to the Spirit of God. We have been bought at a price. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 21 through 24, Moses challenges Israel to learn from the example of his own failure. Verse 21, "The Lord was angry with me on your account. It was for the sake of Israel that God disciplined Moses. Not allowing him to enter the promised land, Israel needed to see that no man, not even Moses, was above the law." Yeah, and this is why Jesus died, because he was obedient to the Father and put himself under the law. Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned." Romans 6:23, "The wage of sin is death." 2 Corinthians 5:21, "Jesus knew no sin but became sin on our behalf." Romans 5:8, "Christ died for us sinners." Christ came under the law to pay the penalty for our sin. Back to the book of Romans, chapter 6, verses 3 through 11. "Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death?" Something that helped me when studying this, to think of baptism as like being united. When we were baptized into Christ, we were united with him. Verse 4, "Therefore we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in the newness of life. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died is freed from sin. Now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again. Death no longer is master over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all, but the life that he lives to God. Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus." So how can we know that we are saved? Because Jesus was raised from the dead. It depends on nothing we do or don't do. You don't even need to know a particular verse. You just need to know that Jesus died for our sins and he was raised from the dead. Our eternal life is based on that. Believe and live. It's all a work of God. It's so amazing. Deuteronomy chapter 4. We're just supposed to be creatures of praise. Just focus on the Lord and his awesomeness and love for us. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 22. "For I will die in this land, but you shall cross and take possession of this good land." Moses was humble enough to recognize his own sin and failure before Israel, and he had enough faith to believe that they could make it even without him. Moses was saved because of his faith. Verse 24, "For the Lord your God is a consuming fire, a jealous God." Moses' idea is simply, if God did not spare me when I blew it, don't think he'll spare you if you turn to other gods. God is a consuming fire, and we must take him and obedience to him seriously. The book of Hebrews, chapter 12, verses 18 through 29. "For you have not come to a mountain that can be touched, and to a blazing fire, and to darkness and gloom and whirlwind, and to the blast of a trumpet, and the sound of words, which sound was such that those who heard begged that no further word be spoken to them, for they could not bear the command. Even if a beast touches the mountain, it will be stoned. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I am full of fear and trembling. But you came to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to myriads of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood, which speaks better than the blood of Abel. See to it that you do not refuse him who is speaking. For if those did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, much less will we escape who turn away from him who warns from heaven. And his voice shook the earth then, but now he has promised, saying, yet once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heaven. This expression, yet once more, denotes the removing of those things which can be shaken, as of created things, so that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us show gratitude by which we may offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. We are creation, right? But we can't be shaken because we are covered with Jesus' righteousness. Our God is a consuming fire, but Jesus is our mediator. He goes before us. Back to Deuteronomy. Moses warns the nation about the danger of disobedience. Verses 25 through 28, the price of serving other gods, exile among the nations. Verse 26, I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day. Creation itself would testify against an idol-worshipping Israel. They would perish in the land God promised to them. Verse 27, the Lord will scatter you among the peoples. God gave Israel the promised land, but not unconditionally. If they persisted in idol worship, God would remove them from the land and scatter them among the nations. This, of course, is exactly what happened. Some 550 years later, at the time of the Babylonian exile of Judah. Verse 28, there you will serve gods, the work of men's hands, which neither see nor hear nor eat nor smell. If Israel was exiled, they would then get their fill of idols. God would put them in a land filled with idols. Often God's chastisement on us is to give us what our sinful hearts long for. If Israel wanted idols, God would give them idols. Verses 29 through 31, God's mercy to exiled Israel. Verse 29, from there you will seek the Lord your God and you will find him. Yeah, without God's mercy, right? There would be no hope. God would not totally abandon Israel in exile. When they were ready to turn back to the Lord, he would be ready to receive them. If you search for him with all your heart and with all your soul. Verse 29, if Israel was to find the Lord, they had to seek him with all their heart and with all their soul. To seek God with the heart has the idea of passionately seeking him. Seeking him because you really want to love the Lord. Seeking God with the soul has the idea of seeking God with our mind, will, and emotions, and giving all of ourselves to him. Verse 30, you will return to the Lord your God and listen to his voice. This shows that when we seek God with all our heart and all our soul, it will show itself in obedience. When we seek God with all our heart and all our soul, it will show itself in obedience. I'm going to read that passage about the Babylonian exile from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 29, verses 4 through 14. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon, build houses and live in them, and plant gardens and eat their produce. Take wives and become the fathers of sons and daughters. And take wives for your sons and give your daughters to husbands, that they may bear sons and daughters and multiply there and do not decrease. Seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile and pray to the Lord on its behalf. For in its welfare you will have welfare. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let your prophets who are in your midst and your diviners deceive you, and do not listen to the dreams which they dream. For they prophesy falsely to you in my name. I have not sent them, declares the Lord. For thus says the Lord, when 70 years have been completed for Babylon, I will visit you and fulfill my good word to you to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will restore you fortunes and will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I have driven you, declares the Lord, and I will bring you back to the place from where I sent you into exile. If we want to be obedient, we need to fall in love with the Lord. We will become committed. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 32 through 40. It makes sense to serve God. Verse 32. Moses asked Israel to carefully consider the former days, and if God had ever dealt with any other nation the way he had dealt with Israel. Israel needed to know they had a special place in the plan of God. Verse 35, to you it was shown that you might know that the Lord, he is God. There is no other besides him. Israel could know that the Lord was God because of all the amazing things God did in the life of their nation. Amen. We can relate, right? In the same way, when we consider how God has touched our lives, how we have experienced the power to free us from sin, to give us hope when we are discouraged, to heal our bodies, to free our bitter hearts, to answer our prayers, to overcome the most difficult obstacles, when we consider these things, we can know that the Lord, he is God. Verse 39, the Lord, he is God in heaven above and on earth below. There is no other. Israel heard God's audible voice from heaven. They saw his holy fire and benefited from his divine choice. They could know this from all God had done for them. Verse 40, so you shall keep his statutes and his commandments. In light of who God is and all he did for Israel, obedience to his commands made perfect sense. It was simply what should be done. We are fools to disobey such a God of love and power. But the point, right, is that we are fools, right? And we do disobey God, so we need to repent and turn towards him and ask for forgiveness. And we know that he forgives us. He died for our sins, right? So let's walk in that resurrected power. Let's live a life of repentance, right? When we screw up, we go to God. He's always there. The Lord gives man the invitation. Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord, Isaiah 1:18. When we consider the alternatives, serving God is the only option. We often think that we have it hard serving the Lord, but we would be in the very worst of places without him. Verses 41 through 43, Moses sets apart cities of refuge in the land east of the Jordan River. The law of God had made life sacred. Nevertheless, there might be extenuating circumstances. For premeditated murder, there was to be no final refuge or forgiveness. However, for unpremeditated killing, provision was made. These cities were not provided that men might evade justice, but rather that justice might be ensured. If a manslayer reached one of these cities, it gave him opportunity of explanation and ensured the certainty of just action. No matter where we are or what we are doing, Jesus is our refuge, our sanctuary. Amen? He always is willing to go, come between us before God on our behalf, right? And God always accepts him, right? Because he's perfectly righteous. God the Son. Jesus is always willing for us, always able. And lastly, verses 44 through 49 of Deuteronomy chapter 4. Moses will review the commandments of God with the people of Israel. As Moses addressed the nation, they were on the threshold of the promised land. It had been some 38 years since they received the law of God at Mount Sinai, and now Moses reviewed and explained the law of God with the new generation. If they were going to take the promised land, they had to be trained in God's word. They would not take it by a do-it-yourself spirit, but only by obedience to the eternal word of God. The same is true for us. We will never walk in the abundant life God has for us unless we do it by his word. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, glory as the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.